Welcome to another message from Fish Lake Valley in our little humble abode here. We're going to study a message tonight, Secrets from John 3, Secrets from John the 3rd chapter. If I can keep this flying ant from landing in my hair. Secrets from John the 3rd chapter, Secrets from John the 3rd chapter. I'll be reading it from the Greek language, translating as I go. Now there kept on being a man out of the Pharisees, Nicodemus. Now, Marilyn, you know what Nicodemus means. That means crowd buster. Nico and Deimos. Deimos is people, usually a crowd of people, and Nico means to conquer a crowd. Named to him. A ruler, Archon. He is a ruler of the Jews. In other words, he's on the Sanhedrin court. And his mission tonight, John writes this in John the 3rd chapter about Nicodemus. Now we find out later on that Nicodemus became a believer. But right now, Nicodemus is not a believer. Nicodemus is a very religious man. He is a Pharisee. He is looked up to by most of the people of his nation. He's probably well known, probably most educated and famous man that ever came to Jesus was Nicodemus. Nicodemus was not on his own. Nicodemus didn't slip in by night and come to see Jesus. Nicodemus had an entourage and a guard with him. He was coming on a special mission from the Sanhedrin court and from the Pharisees to ask Jesus some questions. And that's what's going to transpire in John the 3rd chapter right now. The ruler of the Jews. This man came to him during the night. In other words, after... We got a word nyctos. It's nyctos in Greek. We got a word night right out of that. In other words, it was not daylight. Now, the Sicarii were running around. They were many robbers and thieves. You know, they always ply their trade after dark, don't they? Well, it's a little dangerous for a man to come by night, except that he was on a mission. He knew he would find Jesus here. And he's going to interrogate him. Interrogato. Interrogatio. And we know, he says, and he said to him, Rabbi. Rabbi. Now, rabbi, the term rabbi means doctor of theology. That's what it means. Doctor of theology. To be a rabbi, you had to have a trade. You had to have children. Most of the time. Now, we know Jesus didn't have children, didn't have a wife either. But according to the terms that they used, rabbi at that time was an outstanding member of society. Now, Jesus is an unusual person, very unusual because he's God's son. He was a rabbi. He was a doctor of theology, of course, because he wrote the Bible. The Bible was him. He is the Bible. He said, Rabbi, and then he said, Oidamen, and that means we know. Now, who's we here? Does he have a mouse in his pocket, or what's Nicodemus talking about? He's talking about the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin court. We know. We know from God you have come. A teacher. For no one can teach like you, or able to teach like you, these things, and the great signs, semia, and the great signs that you continue to do, which you do, except he is the God with you. Now Jesus answers him up. Now he knows that he's speaking to him because he said we. In English, some of these things just escape you, but in the Greek language, It says who's speaking and who's speaking to and how many. Number, gender, and case. And Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly. Now, at Mount Sinai, the Jews, at the foot of Mount Sinai, when Moses read the law, they would say, Amen, 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 Amen. Every time, or they'd say Amen one time for every law. Now Jesus says, Amen, Amen, truly, truly, most affirmatively, I say to you, except one is born from above. Look at this. Born from above or born again. He's able to see the kingdom of God. He's not able to see the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus is speaking some very plain terms to him in parables, in all reality. He said, except you've been born from above, born again. Now, we know that when we're born into this world, we're tainted, we're infected with the sin of Adam, and it's through our father's blood. The woman does not contribute any blood and any sin to the child. Even though a woman can be a very vile sinner, they can have a child. A woman can be a vile sinner. A woman can be a drug addict, a prostitute, the most horrible person in the world. She may be having children for one reason, to get on welfare and support herself. And she'll have as many as she can to support herself and neglect those children terribly. And you have seen that. All of you have seen this. The woman does not contribute the sin nature to the child. It comes from the man. Therefore, the virgin birth is possible. Because Jesus' blood comes from God only. Verse number 4, and he says to him, Nicodemus. And he says to him, the Nicodemus, how is able a man to be born when he's geriatric? Jerome. When he's been born, when he's old, being. Not he's able into the womb of the mother of him, the second time to enter into and be born. Now, Jesus is talking about spiritual things. Nicodemus is coming right down here, and he's talking about going back in his mother's womb and being born again. Now, that's not possible. Being born again. The first time you're born with a curse. The Bible has a rule, a law, the rejection of the firstborn. Always rejecting the firstborn. Our first birth is rejected. We must be born again. And the Old Testament, they knew what being born again was. Mm-hmm. Why, Nicodemus was a teacher, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. A great teacher. And he had taught many proselytes how to serve God through Judaism. And when they did that, he would take the person out. Now, this is a Gentile. So now they have to recite before the synagogue all the rules, all the law, all the commandments, and prove that he is a disciple of Israel, or he's going to be a son of Judah, or a Jew. Then he has his head shaved, his body shaved of all hair, just like he was born when he was born the first time, slick and clean, and all of his hair shaved off. And then they baptize him. They baptize him, dying to his old nationality and raising anew to a life among the Jews. And this is what it's talking about here. Now, Jesus tells him, you know what being born again is. Why, you've baptized people and you allowed them to denounce their old nationality, their old ethnic background, and become a Jew. And verse number 5, and Jesus answers and said to him again, truly, truly, amen, amen, I say to you, except a man is born out of water and blood, not he's able to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, Mr. Bullinger calls this figure of speech here a hendiades. Means two things mean the same thing. Two for one. A hendiades. So when you're born out of water and blood and the Spirit, water and the Spirit, not he's able to enter into the kingdom of God unless he's born out of water and Spirit. We're not talking about baptism or regeneration here. A man, the first time, is born from his mother's water grapes, and he's born through the water. And then he must be born of the Spirit. That's what he's talking about here. You must be born of water, just natural birth, and then you must be born from above, the Spirit. Or you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And he said, the thing having been born out of flesh, flesh is. You're born from your mother's womb, your flesh. And then he says, but the thing having been born out of the Spirit, Spirit is. Now, I wish I had a blackboard behind me, because I draw a circle here and I divide it into three parts like a pie. And I say, here is the body, and here is the soul, and here is the Spirit. When we're born into this world, we have body, soul, and spirit. But the spirit we have in us is the spirit of rebellion and the spirit that damns us. When we're born again, we're branded and earmarked for the kingdom of God, and that we are God's. We are then God's. Let's go on a little further now. The thing having been born out of the flesh, as flesh is. The thing having been born out of the Spirit, Spirit it is. And he said, don't you marvel that I told you these things. It is bindingly necessary for you all. For you all to be born from above. It's bindingly necessary for you all to be born from above. Then he said in verse 8, the Spirit, where it wishes, it travels along by wind. And the sound of him you hear, but you do not know from where it comes and from where it goes. He goes under, what it says there. Mm-hmm. He goes. Thus, or in this same manner, it is that one having been born out of the Spirit. Now Nicodemus speaks up again. And he answers Nicodemus, and he says to him, how is it possible these things to come about or to become? Verse number 10, and Jesus caught up in speech with him, it says here, and he says to him, you are a teacher belonging to Israel, and these things you do not understand. You do not understand. He said, you do not continue to understand. Why, you baptized a lot of these proselytes and told them they died to their old ethnic background and been raised to the new. He said, don't you know what I'm talking about? He said, I was baptized. John baptized many people. Now, I do believe later on Nicodemus got baptized because he found out the birth that he was living under wasn't good enough to see the kingdom of God. And we're going to prove that in just a little while. How is this able to come about? And then Jesus said to him, you are a teacher out of Israel or belonging to Israel, and these things you do not understand. Amen, amen, I say to you. Amen, amen, I go see again. Again, again, amen, amen, I say to you. That what we know, we speak. Who's he talking about here? His little church. What we know, we speak. That little church had already been on a commission. That little church was already baptizing. Why, Jesus' disciples, his church, baptized more people than John did. He said, what we know, we speak by way of human language. That's laleo, men. We is talking about the church. And what we have seen, we bear witness. He's talking about the church. The church saw the miracles. The church saw that Jesus met all the messianic credentials. And the witness of us, his little church, not ye receive. You do not receive it. Not you receive. Look at there. you all, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin. Number 12. If earthly things, of things upon the earth, I told you, to you all, and not you all believe, how, if I tell to you the heavenly things, will you believe? And no man has gone up into the heaven except the one out of heaven having come down, the Son of mankind. And what he's saying here is that he is the Messiah. Mm-hmm. That he is the promised seed of Genesis 3:15. Now, Nicodemus, we know, makes a decision to follow Jesus. Maybe not so openly. We know that Joseph of Arimathea did the same thing. We're going to quote those passages in a few minutes. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so to be lifted up, it is bindingly necessary the Son of Man. Now I must be lifted up. First of all, he's going to be lifted up on a cross. Then he's going to be lifted up into the third heaven. And he's going to go away and he's going to send that church out on commission. Now, church wasn't started on the day of Pentecost. The church was filled with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, and the Comforter came to that church to lead them all truth that they would write down, and we now have the Bible. We now have the Hagios Belos, the Holy Bible. And just as Moshe lifted up the serpent in the desert, so also be lifted up the Son of Man. And in order that everyone believing in him, they may have eternal life. They may have. You know, the Bible teaches that every man has a chance to believe. He has a chance to believe. He may have eternal life. What causes a man to may have eternal life? We know eternal life, it is not a conditional covenant. It's an unconditional covenant. What?
It's volition.
It's volition. And then in verse number 16, for God so loved the world. In this, so as the Son, the only begotten, he gave that everyone believing in him may not perish, but may have. Look at that. All subjunctive. Subjunctive is a volitational. In Hebrew, it's cohortive and juicy. It's volition. Mm-hmm. Personal volition. Now, we know that God wrote a man's name down in eternity past. And he elected those to eternal life. We know that because he knew they would believe. Man is not a robot. Man may have or may not have eternal life. At every time in the Greek language, it brings this out. In the subjunctive mode. It is mode of doubtful affirmation or mode of hopeful affirmation, whichever way you want to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He may have life eternal. For God sent not his Son into the world to judge or condemn the world. But that in order that may be saved the world through him. May be saved. Might be saved. Each one that believes will be saved. Jesus Christ died for all man's sins. But that blood is only efficacious to those that believe.
Mm-hmm.
The one believing in him, not is judged. But the one not believing in him has already been judged because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He has not believed. That volition, isn't it? That person has not believed in eternal life.
Yeah.
That person has not believed. These are not dead souls. These are live souls. They may have eternal life or may reject God's Son. And this is the judgment, that the light, it has come unto the world, and mankind loved darkness rather than light, for they kept on being evil, the works of them. That word evil there, ponera, that's twisted, practiced evil. And their works, their products of employment are evil. Why, even children of God do bad things in the flesh. But here it's talking about these people that practice and perfect evil. For everyone doing foul things, foul, evil, wicked things. Doing this, he's practicing this all the time. He hates the light. He hates the light. Miss A, he hates the light. Each one individually hates the light. And will not come toward the light in order that they are reproved, the works of them. When you come to the light, your evil deeds are reproved. When you come to the light, you know you are a sinner. If you're out there tonight, tomorrow, tomorrow, next year, 10 years from now, and you hear this message, and you haven't been born from above, and I'm not talking about through baptism, I'm not talking about through good works. If you haven't been born again by believing in your heart and calling upon God to save your soul, now I'm going to tell you something. I had a woman call me a few years ago. She was a preacher's wife. She was also a Sunday school teacher. She was in the ministry of a church. And she had a terrible condemnation on her soul. She thought that she had sinned and sinned and sinned, and that God would never call her to eternal life. Because she'd heard the preaching of God's Word all of her life, and she had not responded. And she said her husband said she's all right because she's just a good woman, a Christian. Her pastor told her the same thing. There's nothing to worry about. And she called. She listened to me preach on the Internet. And she called Sermon Audio and asked them where I was. They said at Valley Baptist Church. She called Valley Baptist Church. And they wouldn't give her my phone number. So she begged them with tears. And they finally gave her my phone number. And she called me. And she apologized for interrupting me, whatever I was doing. I was studying, working on the Internet at that time. And I said, that's okay. I said, what do you need? And she said, I think you can answer a question I have. She said, I think I'm going to hell. I said, all right. Why do you think that? I just feel like I'm going to hell. What she said. And I asked her, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God the Son in the flesh? And she said, yes. Do you believe that he died, was crucified on a cross, that he was buried 3 days later, that he was raised forevermore? She said, yes. All right. I said, sounds good so far. Have you ever asked the Lord into your life and to forgive you your sins and repented of your sins? And she said, no. I went forward when I was in vacation Bible school, and I didn't know anything about that. And I was baptized and everything. But I've heard the Word of God preached all these years, and I just had this terrible feeling. I said, well, you are in trouble. I said, if you want to, right now. She said, do you think God had saved me? I heard the gospel so many times in my life. I said, how hard was it for you to get a hold of me? Are you seeking? Do you think the Holy Spirit is working with you right now? And she said, I think so. I guess so. I said, well, you want to pray and ask the Lord to save your soul and forgive you your sins and forgive you for rejecting Him all these years? And she said, yes, and she did. And she was happy. Because now she had eternal life. She didn't have eternal life before. She was religious. She's a Sunday school teacher, but she didn't have some eternal life. It says, the one doing the truth, he comes to the light that it may be manifest the works of him, that in God they are having been wrought. Now it said in verse 22, it says, after these things came to Jesus and the disciples him into the Judean land, and there he continued with them and baptized. All right, and they baptized. That church went on doing the business of the church. Now go to John, the 19th chapter. And verse number 38. And after these things after these things. Joseph of Arimathea, being a secret disciple of Jesus, for fear of the Jews, kept on begging that he might take away the body of Jesus, and the Pilate gave him leave, and therefore he took the body of Jesus. And there came also with him Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night. And sometime after that little session, he got born again. And brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 weight. He brought the burial of a king to Jesus, because truly he was a king. And they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes, the spices, and all as the manner of the Jews is, as the custom of the Jews is. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you? Have you asked Jesus to save you? Have you come to the Father by the authority of Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me what I've done in my life? Forgive me of my sins for what Jesus has done for me. I know He's paid the cost, and I'm the cause of His death. Ask the Lord that, and then follow Him. Follow Him with your life. God will never ask of anything of you that is not good for you. People listen to these messages at nighttime. Many people say the last words they hear at nighttime is my voice preaching as they fall asleep. If you're there tossing and turning at nighttime, I want you to know that Jesus feels all your misery. He's already been there. I cannot imagine a worse depression than what came upon Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he poured his heart out. As a human, he knew what it was going to feel like to die. He knew what those nails would be driven through his hands, through his feet. He knew that how he would be rejected. He feels your pains. He knows what you're going through. Maybe you've got a bad spouse. Maybe you have been imprisoned by your family. All of these things happen to people, really. Maybe you're in some foreign country where you're a concubine, and you hear these words. Jesus loves you. Many places in the world today, it is not legal or safe to be a Christian. Maybe you'll have to hide out like Joseph of Arimathea and quietly serve Jesus as Nicodemus did. I do not know. Wherever you are, you ask Jesus in your life, Jesus will save you. Father, we send this message out, and we send it with a prayer. But Father, that you will not let your word return into your void. Father, if there's one out there, convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. If there's a child of God out there that's not serving you like that he or she ought to, that you'll give them encouragement to follow you like they should. We can never be happy, and you know that, serving the world when you're born again. In Jesus' name, I beg and I ask these things. Amen.